Start again. Daflam and Aleph. Doma, here's a story. With Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Rabbi Levi, Havi Yisivin. So they're all sitting together. Havi Rabbi Zeira, Mekancha Le'ilain Daganata. And Rabbi Zeira, you know how it is when you're with two friends and you have a bone to pick, something that really bothers you. So he's bothered by these people who are Darshan Agarata. I don't know whether it's these particular people or in general he had had it out for people who darshan agarta. Utzarach lahain sifrei kismi. He said to them, these are scholars of divination, which is not a good thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. He says that these expounders of agarta conjure up their erroneous interpretations for verses of the Torah, rather than basing them on tradition from their teachers, right? You know, I mean, this is always a question. Like when you read the Medrash Rabbah, you read the Medrash Tanchuma, you read Medrash Haggadah, you read all these Medrashim. So is that from Sinai?
Yep.
Did they make it up?
Nope.
That came from Moshe Rabbeinu.
How about Chedushim?
I mean, I don't know. It's not so clear. Over here, it sounds like he's saying to them that they're conjuring up the pshatim on their own, and it's without tradition. So I don't know which specific group of people he's referring to. Okay, let's see an example. We'll go through it a little bit. So Amalei Rabba Bar Kahana. So Rabba Bar Kahana said to Rabbi Zeira, Lamat Makantolain, why are you criticizing them? Them, so it's not us. Sha'al, or you should ask them a question. The Inun be given luck, and they will respond to you. Amalei, so Rabbi Zeira says the following pasuk. This is the test, okay? What's this pasuk in Tehillim? It's chapter 76, pasuk 11. Ki chamas adam todeka, rage towards man causes you homage, which means to thanks you, I guess. She'eris chemos takar, the remnant of rage, you restrain it. Okay, what does this mean? What is this rage? What is the remnant? What does this mean? Okay, so Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana says the following explanation. Amalei, Kikamas on Toydako Boilam Hazet, that when rage towards man causes you homage in this world, which means, let's look at the at it in Hebrew, okay? It has a lot more tom in Hebrew than it does in English.
Homage mean?
It means thanking. Todeka, Odeka is hoida, okay? I believe that's correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. Let's take a look at the third line, the fourth line of Marafold, okay? Kishetodia machamaska v'nik maskal ha'adam olam hazeh. When you make known your anger and your rage on a person in this world, and he thanks you for punishing him, because he realizes that he's a sinner, and he thanks Hashem, A, for bringing out, for letting him know that he's sinning, and he does tshuva as a result. That's the first part of the pasuk. Ki chamas adam todeka, that when you are expressing your rage against man, and he in this world goes ahead and acknowledges that and thanks you for it in a sense, and he does tshuva. Oz, then the end of the pasuk, she'eris chema, klimar mashenishar oy b'chamasa. What's left in your anger, in other words, he hasn't fully paid him for his sin completely, right? There's still some leftover punishment left here to give him, right? The frailei alvanoisav, ato choger ma'akvam olam haba lo sorry or kol chamos lachaloisav. You hold it off to olam haba. I don't like this language of holding it off. I like it much better in the Agra. You'll see. Look at the Gra in Ksav Yad Beis on the left side. Choger sheres ha'chemus olam haba perish. Because of the Yisroel that he had in this world, you won't give him Yisroel in the next world. even though it doesn't equal how much he really deserves, you're michael him the excesses. Okay, so basically what he's teaching of the pasuk is, this is what you have to keep in mind. First part of the pasuk is referring to Olam Hazeh. The second part of the pasuk is referring to Olam Haba. Okay? We got that? So this is Rav Abba Bar Kahana's shot.
I thought he's saying, according to the Gra, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is mochel part of the reason, part of the sin.
That's what he said.
In Olam Haba.
Not in Olam Haba.
Yes, in Olam Haba. Look at the word, the Dibra Hamaskel. You got to look at the Dibra Hamaskel over the Gra. It says, Sheiras Hachemus Lo Olam Haba. The Gemara says it's referring to Olam Haba. Okay? He's Michael it. It means in Olam Haba, you're not going to get punished for it. Okay?
Right.
So it's Olam Haba. So Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Next. Now, Reb Ze'era, he wants to show that these Balei Agada, that the way they're dashening is not davka, it's not muchach, the pshat at all. And he gives the following interpretation. On Malay, so he says, Reb Zera says, I neymar, maybe you could say the other way around. Ki chamas adam todek av olam haba. That the rage causes you to be thankful, your gratitude will be expressed in the world to come.
Where are
we? I'm back in the Gemara. Back in the Gemara, second column, right?
First column.
No, I'm on the second column. I did it already.
Did it?
I read it in the Mefarshim, even though I didn't read it in the text. But it's the same words, okay? On Malay, on Neymar, so it could be the Pshat is, Ki chamas adam todeka b'olam haba. That means he'll have gratitude on Olam Haba for the suffering that was given to him in this world. Why will he express gratitude for the suffering? Because it says in the end of the Pasuk, because you gird yourself, meaning you held back from giving retribution for every part of the rage in this world, so that you've given him the complete payoff in this world, so he doesn't get punished in the next world. But the idea is according to this approach, the first part of the pasuk is Olam Haba, and the second part of the pasuk is Olam Hazeh. Okay. So he's telling him, you're learning first part is Olam Hazeh, second part is Olam Haba. I could turn it around and make the first part Olam Haba and the second part Olam Hazeh just as easily. So you don't know. What you're saying is not Muchach. Now, Rav Levi says, Kishata'orach HaMaskal HaRishoyim, and you could even say that both, he's going to suggest both in Olam Hazeh. When you go ahead and you show your wrath against the Rishoyim in this world, and the tzaddikim see it, tzaddikim royin ma'atoy silahen, v'hein mordel l'shimcha. And they'll thank you for, number one, not punishing them, and B, showing that there is, you know, yasi yisrani kov l'moslo sanani, right? What's the pasuk? I'm trying to think of a pasuk, I can't think of it offhand. That through you seeing the yisrim, you come to your shemayim. Okay, so again, so we have three different approaches to the pasuk. Either Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, or Olam Hazeh, Olam Hazeh. We have three different approaches here. That's Reb Zeira's, that's what's bothering Reb Zeira. I'm Reb Zeira. He hafcha, he mahafcha. Lo shanim imanakom. It could be twisted this way, it could be twisted that way. We don't see anything. We don't derive anything from it. Meaning, we do not derive any practical, in 11 he says, we don't derive any practical halacha from either interpretation. These are thus just interpretations in how to homiletically explain the pasuk. We don't derive any definitive conclusion about the verse's true meaning. You don't know whether the pasuk...
None of them are MS, or just one is MS, or...
We don't know. We don't know what's bothering...
They contradict each other.
So in terms of the idea, the idea is the same according across the board here. Regardless of how you learn the pasuk, the idea is that you're happy that Hashem gives you punishment in this world, not in the next world. Well, that's the beginning of the pasuk, the end of the pasuk. To me, would seem not that relevant. But what he, I think, is bothering him is the error that when you're coming to explain the pasuk, you can't tell who's right. You don't. You have no way of knowing.
I like Rav Levi's shot because you can apply that to modern day news like
today. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you the truth. I'm not. I don't go there. I don't go there. I'm not trying to say. I don't like statements made by rabbis that this is God showing His punishment.
By a rabbi,
don't talk about the Darkei Hashem as if you know what's going on. It's have a little humility, and you don't have to talk. Let it happen, and you schweig. You don't have to talk about everything. Schweig means be quiet. I can't take people that. They just have to constantly be talking about why this is happening, and why is COVID happening, and why is this happening. I can't stand it. Yirmiyah b'ni, so he says, Yirmiyah, my son.
Yeah.
So even though he is not, Rav Zeira is not Rav Yirmiyah's father, but he refers to him as his son, a lashon of chiba, right? Ezol tzorg duknisach, go guard well your halakhic inquiry. In other words, we just had the previous page. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, what would be if you're standing in the chatzar and you have a pole that reaches into the gina and you pick the te'ina with the pole? Remember that was his question. So he's telling him, stick with that. Stick with your questions. That's much more worthwhile endeavor than trying to get involved in the agadata. The hitava min kulam. It's better than all the discussions that we just had. This is a very, very interesting. This Yerushalmi is a classic, which needs to be really dealt with in terms of, you know, the question we start off with: is Medrash halacha mishmi Sinai? How seriously do I take a Medrash or not? There's a famous story with Rav Reinberg al Hashalom, who, you know, he called Talmud in and he started. I think it was he was talking to him about. Something about it was going on in Mitzrayim, you know, the Nisim. And he says, do you believe that there were 40 frogs that came out every time they hit the frog? You know, do you really believe that? So the guy is having a fight, and then finally he says, not really. Apikoros! That's the story. He calls it Apikoros. Anyway, so that's the question. Okay, next. But the Erechaima, so now we're talking about the walled cities. What?
The last few words. Yitzhar min kulam.
I read that. Yeah. But the Erechaima, Taman Tininon, Kol Shul Lefnim Nachaima, everything that's inside the wall, Harayoku about the Erechaima, it's like the bias as well. In other words, it doesn't have to be a bias. Chutz min Asadois, except for fields. Fields are excluded. Everything else that is included, okay? Afasas, that the fields are also included. Now we're on Laman Aleph on base.
These are the fields inside the walls, right?
That's correct. So it's a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, which is actually Rabbi Yehuda, I believe, whether this is whether fields are included. Rabbi Yehuda or the Tanakhama, whatever it is, holds sodas are not included, and Rav Meir holds they are included. Now Gemara is going to explain a little more. I'm an alpha base. My Talmud Rabbanan, why do they hold? Because it says in the pasuk, "Kam habayis," right? It says, if you look at the side of the Torah, it says the whole pasuk, "Lo yidgoel ad mois lo yishana tumima." If you haven't redeemed it after a full year, the "Kam habayis asher ba'ir asher lo chom olas misus lakana osel l'doresav lo yetsi b'yovel." It remains by him forever, right? Doesn't go out at yovel. So it says the "Kam habayis." I only know house. Bati baden, ubiris, shifin, mo'aros, umachatos, reshuvachos, umigdolos. How do I know to include olive presses, cisterns, trenches, vaults, bathhouses, dovecotes, and cupboards? That the rule of latzmisus that it stays by the lokeach if the mocher is not hodet within a year. Tam loimer asher ba'ir. It says. So it's like either houses or anything else that's in the city. So, Yocholav Hasado, so you might think it also refers to the fields that are in the city. So, Tamalimra Bias, it says the word bias. Bias is telling me a certain prat, right? Almost like a prat uklal, yes. Ma bias shehu miyuchad shehu beis dira. Yotsu sodos she'enon beis dira. But the house is a dwelling type of a thing, as opposed to the fields, which are totally not dwelling. Now,
the Shobach and the Migdal.
Right. So how are those dwellings, right? That's a good question. he kind of like writes it off in the bottom. He says, in 6. In other words, the inclusive clause, that is in the sea, allows for a broader interpretation of bias. As such, any place used by inhabitants for their residential needs, all the presses, cisterns, etc., is incorporated in the verse.
People but, don't live in fields.
Yeah, but if those
other things are created by man, I think that's the difference.
But the body,
All those things are built by.
So the olive press is built by man, and so therefore it's more like a bias. That's what he's saying.
No, but I'm saying I understand that it's supporting the bias, meaning you need the oil to be able to cook and to heat and blah, blah, blah. Everything is a supporting to the house, but then a sada is also.
A sada is only if you plant it, will it be that way. Yeah.
Only if you have pigeons in the shoba.
True enough. It's a little difficult to understand this.
Adraba. If you're saying that it's a tomech ba'id, so then it should be sadeh as well.
No. Sadeh is created by God.
Everything is created by God.
And Belros, right?
God created.
And Shichin and Ma'aros.
Yeah.
God didn't.
Yeah, that's going to be a little difficult, the cave.
What did the rabbi say to the Talmud?
No. Anyway, let's just leave it for now. Okay, that's what the Gemara says.
All right.
it's like I say to people, sometimes you hear a drasha, take it or leave it. Okay. So now that's the Tanakhama, right? So this is the Rabbanan against Rav Meir. They hold sodos are not included. So we're learning that it's a miut from the bias. A lot of times we'll take the most unlikely thing that's like bias, right? It could be there is something to be argued. I mean, we've been saying the whole Masechta that the bias is a makom which is mishtamer, and therefore everything else, unless it's mishtamer, is not considered something which would be considered a place which is right pnei bias. All these things, I don't know if they're included in right pnei bias, but the point is that you have a word bias, you have a riboy vasher basodeh, which is marva everything, so you take the most extreme example, which is not like the bias, which the Gemara feels sort of is the most extreme example. Okay, my Talmud Rav Meir, what does he hold? So the Gemara says the same drasha again. Become a bias, and the other bias, and I love about the bottom of Mara Sikh, Mara Smooth Consensus, which was the Dalton Halsonis, Talmud Lemma, Sherbo Ear. Stop. That's where he stopped. He doesn't continue. He kind of like, so he's basically repeating the same drasha, but he doesn't continue in Yochol. That's the whole difference, right?
Well, Rav Meir, he includes Sados there. The first Chachamim, it ended at Migdalos.
Right. You're right. But the point, you're right. I didn't say it quite exactly right. You're right. But the point is that it's not clear that it's not so clear. What is the oifen of the way he darshans things? How is that different? He must have a different mahalach, I guess.
It says Asher Bo'ir, and the sodos are in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear.
Even the sages who expound the term house to exclude the field agree that a tree planted in a courtyard of a house is considered a part of the house and subject to the laws of houses of walled cities. So our Mishnah's discussion, right, of whether or not the status of a tree is determined by the location of its trunk is relevant even according to them, right? In other words, he's raising an issue here, a really basic fundamental issue in our Gemara. Is our whole discussion in our Mishnah with the tree and the trunk, is that only going to be like Rameyer? But according to the Chachamim, who hold Sodos are not included, so then maybe trees are also not included. But yet we've been talking all along that the trees are included.
Yeah, a tree is not a field.
So he's saying that the tree is considered a part of the house. All right. Okay. Next. The Gemara assigns the conclusion of the Brisa. Ashalochoma, that has, again, we have a Kri and a Ksiv here, I believe, right?
Yeah.
The Ksiv, if you look at the Pasuk, it says Ashaloh with an Aleph. Yeah. And the Kri, although it doesn't make a difference how it sounds, it says Lo with a Vav, right? Low Kri. There's no difference how to read low and low. I'm not sure. I don't think there's a difference. But whatever it is.
One to mean none and one to mean yes.
Yes, exactly.
But it's pronounced the same.
Right. Prat labayis habani b'chayma. That means that if you have a house that's built in the wall, right?
Like Rachav.
So then it's not the pshat that the whole house has a wall. If I have a house in the city, so the house has a wall. There's a wall outside of the house surrounding the house. But if your house is in the wall, you're not surrounded by a wall. You only have one wall, which is the outside wall. That's lo choma. That's the taina. So that's excluding that. No. The outside wall of the house is going to be the choma. You don't have to have all four walls being the choma. So that's a...
So this is not Rameh and the Rabbanim.
Well, no, this is a totally different thing.
Reb Shimon and
this is Reb Shimon and Yehuda. And the bottom here in 12, I think he has two different pshatim over here. Kosel is an ordinary house wall. Choma is a thick wall that surrounds the city. So the kosel chitzon, the outer wall of the house, hu hachaymo, is also the wall of the city.
Right.
Others explain Reb Shimon's statement differently. In their opinion, Reb Shimon contends the wall of the house is considered to be divided into two parts. The inner side, which is exposed to the inside of the house, is considered the wall of the house. The outer side is considered the wall of the city, and that's surrounding the house. So the kosel achitzon doesn't mean the outside wall that's facing the outside, you know, of the city, but it would mean the outside of the walls, right? Okay. Whatever the pshat is. So, what does he say over here? This dispute can be understood in light of the fact that the written form is actually lo choma, that it does not have a wall. But we read it lo choma with a vav, which means it does have a wall. So that might be the dispute. How does that explain the dispute? Reb Yehuda darsha lo choma, that has a wall, so that means it has to be surrounded by an independent wall. Reb Shimon darsha lo choma, that it does not have a wall, means to exclude houses that are not surrounded by a wall at all, but the house is built into the city wall.
Right.
So that's still considered. So in other words, he's darshaning the low, the aleph, which is yesh aim lamisora, and Rabbi Yehuda is darshaning the low, the vav, yesh aim lamikra. Okay. There's a stira, because the Gemara has the shittas reversed, and so you have a... A little bit of work to do to miyashi the bodily with the Yerushalmi. Okay, now what about protection, the cities of refuge? Remember we said we have branches. From Rav Chinuno, who sha'ol der hanof. If the murderer ascends to the tree by way of the branches, that's when it's going to protect you. Avlam ol der ha'ikar, if you go up to the branches by way of the trunk, for kloto ha'ikar, then the trunk has already afforded him refuge, and even though the branches are outside the city, it still will protect him. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's his statement. Now the Mishnah said regarding the laws.
Why was the Torah so concerned about the murderer as opposed to the Goel Adam?
It was an accident.
Right, but I'm saying.
So he wants.
The minute that he steps out or he's in the wrong spot, the gives permission.
Yep.
To be there's merit to it. It's not like the.
Yeah, it could be a mitzvah.
So I'm saying, so why is the protection so?
Why are you giving protection in the first place? So
that's what I'm saying.
Why have a eremit life in the first place?
That's what I said.
So. Once we have it, we want to give it as much as possible.
Okay, let's finish up here. The Mishnah said, let's make a run for the end of the park. So the Mishnah was talking about Maaser Sheni, right? We said the same thing. The trunk of the tree is inside Yerushalayim, the branches are out. You give the stringencies to both locations. So thus, let's just read it inside. Thus, one may not redeem Maaser Sheni even if he has it with him on the part of the tree that is outside of Jerusalem. Nor may he eat the Maaser Sheni even if he has it with him on the part of the tree that's inside Jerusalem, because part of the tree is outside. So now the Gemara makes an analogy between this Mishnah and Maaser Sheni. In the case of Maaser Sheni, is talking about it's Paragimel Mishnah Zion, that you have a olive press where the doorway of the olive press is on the inside of the city. You'd walk in through the olive press door from the inside of the city into the olive press. But when you're in the actual olive press, you're actually outside the city. So there's a machlokes beis shammai beis hillel. So masnisa beis shammai de beis shammai omrim hakol klofnim. That in the case of the press, within and without, the entire press is like it's inside. They go bust out the doorway. So you can't redeem it, nor can you eat it. Because we apply stringencies of both, right? But according to beis hillel, in 20, it says, Beis Hillel and the Mishnah Maaser Sheni disagree. They hold whatever they go buser, you draw a line through the wall, right? Whatever is inside the line is inside the city, and whatever is outside the line is outside the city. You just go straight down, right? So that's Beis Hillel Shita. So the Gemara says on Lama Beis, finishing up the parak, Tani, it says in the Brisa, concerning a tree whose trunk is located inside Yerushalayim, but the branches are outside. If you drew the extending branches back within the boundaries, then the entire tree, even the branch that originally had been outside Yerushalayim, is now considered like in Yerushalayim. And then it says, Ispahan Tnoya Kadmoya Kibay Shamai. And there's a Tana, there exists a Tana Kama in this Brisa. It holds like Beis Shammai that the stringencies of both locations are applied to the entire tree. Even if the branch remained outside Yerushalayim, it's considered like the inside, and the Maaser Sheni cannot be redeemed there. So that's the chumras of both the inside and outside, like Beis Shammai. Okay, that will be Hajj Allah Hamai Retainim, and we'll start the next part, Mirtzah Hashem, tomorrow. Thank you.